Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 5th, 2023. Today is Wednesday in Holy Week. Because today's assigned reading is a repeat of the Isaiah passage we heard in Palm Sunday's diary, today's reflection will be drawn from the psalm appointed for today. Here is a reading from Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me, O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and altogether dismayed. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. Let those who say to me, Aha, and gloat over me turn back because they are ashamed. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, Great is the Lord. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. One of the hallmarks of the Psalms is the honesty with which they capture the range of human emotion and experience, from exultant to confident, to confused, to anxious, to vengeful, to angry, to hopeless, to despair, and everything in between. A frequent suggestion I make to people who are new to reading Psalms is to do this. Try and identify the feelings you hear in and behind the verses, even those verses which are affronts to 21st century sensibilities. Because the Psalms are poetry, there are often points of emotional connection with them that transcend whatever historical context may have been happening whenever a particular psalm was written. Since we've all experienced fear or dread or hatred or betrayal or God-forsakenness in some form or fashion, we can often connect with the words of the psalms on a more visceral level. For this reason, they are often more immediately accessible to us spiritually than other parts of the Bible. This is one of the key reasons the Psalms have had such a prominent place in Christian worship since the very beginnings of the church. In the passage above, the psalmist struggles between confidence in God's power to deliver and the reality that there are those desiring to put an end to his life. The poet prays for God's sustenance even as he feels the press of persecution. There is some urgency in the poet's petition as he cries out, O Lord, do not tarry. Today, Wednesday in Holy Week, is also called in some circles Spy Wednesday, since the gospel reading appointed is the story of Judas at his last dinner with Jesus and his fellow disciples. Judas gets his feet washed by Jesus, eats what will become the sacred meal for all Christians for all time, all the while knowing that he's already made the deal to betray his teacher. Judas functions as a spy for the authorities. John's gospel makes it clear, however, that somehow, whether through keen intuition or God-given foreknowledge, Jesus is already aware of Judas' plot. And still, Jesus takes no action to protect himself from what is about to happen. It's easy to see why the framers of the lectionary would have chosen these lines from Psalm 70 for today. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and altogether dismayed. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. You, O Lord, are my helper and deliverer. Those of us familiar with the storyline of Passion Week know that just after the Last Supper, Jesus and the remaining disciples leave the room where they have dined and go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There, in great distress, Jesus prays. His prayer is twofold. He prays for deliverance. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And he prays to be strengthened through whatever ordeal he must face. Not my will, but yours be done. I can imagine that since Jesus had been schooled in the scriptures of his people, the words of the Psalms would have supported him as he endured that horror and agony that transpired over the course of those tortuous hours from his arrest in the garden to his death on the cross. In fact, according to two of the gospel accounts, some of the last words Jesus utters in this life are the words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? While much has been made about the theological implications of what scholars refer to as the cry of dereliction, I'm always taken aback by the aching honesty of the scene. You see, there is no foregone conclusion on Good Friday that Easter is coming. There is only the gaping void of abandonment, the hope that God will redeem what appears to be irredeemable. Jesus suffers and dies. The emptiness of that moment sears our souls. And the faithfulness of God's presence remains even when all we experience of God's presence is its seeming absence. This is where the words of the psalmist offer comfort and assurance, not from a place of naivete, but from a place of irreducible trust. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, "Great is the Lord." Let us pray. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, gave his body to be whipped and his face to be spit upon, give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of the present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.